This is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. It was a story that dominated headlines in 1995. An Oakland County man named Jonathan Schmitz appeared on the popular Jenny Jones show. He thought he was going to learn just who had a secret crush on him. Once on stage with cameras rolling, Jenny Jones brought out that secret crush, a gay man named Scott Amador. And here's the moment of the reveal.
Hi, John. Did you think Donna had the crush on you?
Did I? No, we're good friends.
Well, guess what? It's Scott that has the crush on you.
You lied to me.
The videotape of the show, it's excruciating to watch. It never aired. It shows Schmitz with a frozen smile as host Jenny Jones questions him.
Did you have any idea that he liked you this much?
No, I did not.
Can you tell us what your status is? Are you involved with anybody? Or?
No, but I am definitely a heterosexual, I guess you could say.
3 days later, Jonathan Schmitz shot and killed Scott Amador. Today, he was released from prison after 22 years. Michigan Radio's Kate Wells is here with us. This is like something you couldn't even script, isn't it?
Yeah, it is definitely. It is a stranger than fiction true crime story. It's one of those things where Scott Amador and Jonathan Schmitz, they knew each other a little bit. They'd met a couple of times. And Jonathan goes on this show, his lawyers say, thinking that it's going to be his ex-fiance is going to be there, that they've broken up and now they're going to get back together. And she's going to say that she has a crush on him. And for Scott, his parents say that he thought this was going to be this big demonstration of affection and you know, this big demonstration for his crush. And you watch this never-aired episode like you were talking about, and they both come off as nervous, but they handle it pretty well. Like, they're pretty jovial. They keep things pretty light. And then, 3 days later, they go back to Michigan. Jonathan goes on this drinking binge, and apparently he sees on the third day a note from Scott on his car, some sort of like a romantic advance. And Jonathan goes and withdraws money from his savings account. He buys a shotgun and ammunition. He drives over to Scott's trailer. There's a brief confrontation, and Jonathan shoots him twice at close range and then leaves the scene and calls 911 to confess and essentially report the crime.
And you've spoken with attorneys involved in the criminal and civil actions in this case. First is defense attorney Jim Burdick.
Yeah, one of the reasons this case had so much national attention, and one of the reasons that we talk about it now, was both because obviously it had this reality TV tie that, you know, is salacious, and it was sort of a time of like, well, has reality TV gone too far finally? But it also now, when you look back at it, it's one of those instances of the so-called gay panic defense, which became something that was used a lot, not just in US, but in places like Australia, where you could essentially like blame the victim, say, you know, he made an advance at me, he made a pass at me, and I was just so driven to insanity that I overreacted in violence. Now, his attorney, his defense attorney in the criminal trial, Jim Burdick, he says that they didn't use the term gay panic at the time.
He was in a panic that he was being falsely accused or identified as a gay person. And so maybe it meets the criteria of the gay panic defense, although it's not a term that I recall being tossed about at the time.
And for Burdick and his other defense attorneys, really this case was more, they say now, about Schmitz's mental illness, that they say he had untreated bipolar disorder, he'd gone off his meds, and that was really what was going on. But then you also ask the question that, you know, even if he'd gone off his meds, if it had been a woman who told him, I have this secret crush on you, would he have gone and killed her 3 days later? So it's a really tricky case.
Was his excessive reaction based in anything reasonable or rational, or was it engendered by his untreated bipolar disorder? I think the latter is the case.
And Kate, you also spoke with very well-known attorney Jeffrey Feiger. He represented the Amador family in a civil case against the Jenny Jones show.
Right. So they go, Scott's family sues the Jenny Jones show and says essentially, you know, none of this would have happened if the Jenny Jones show hadn't essentially been negligent. And it's really interesting to hear Feiger talk about this because he represented Scott's family, the victim's family, but he describes Jonathan Schmitz, the killer, as almost a victim as well.
I'm convinced Scott Amador would be alive and Jonathan Schmitz would have never hurt him but for that show.
And it did end her career. It totally ended her career. And it did make people look at those shows with different eyes. Talk to us a little about a recent Facebook post from Scott's brother, Frank Amador Jr.
Yeah, so Frank has made a lot of comments about this case now that we know, of course, that Schmitz is being paroled. And we reached out to him on Facebook. We weren't able. He didn't respond to us. We're still hoping to get to talk to him. But he did make a Facebook post about this. And one of the things that he says is the Jenny Jones Show people set Schmitz and Scott up. Schmitz was a victim as well. However, he murdered my brother and deserved to go to prison. There's no excuse for what he did. We have nothing to say about it, though he is being released regardless of how we feel about it.
Now, I covered this story for Detroit Television in 1995. You had not heard of it until this week.
No.
What did you take away from this?
Well, so I came to you at the beginning of this being like, have you heard about this crazy case? And you're like, oh yeah. I was there and I covered it. What was so interesting to me that this, I'd never heard of the gay panic defense. It blew my mind a little bit that that was something that you could come into court and say, well, he made me uncomfortable because he's gay and I'm straight, and so I killed him. That was a legal defense.
It is something. Michigan Radio's Kate Wells, thanks so much.
Thanks, Cindy.
Stephanie White is the executive director of Equality Michigan with us now. Stephanie, the predecessor of Equality Michigan was the Triangle Foundation. How did its founder, the late Jeff Montgomery, and other gay rights activists respond to that so-called gay panic defense?
Well, they went all in on it. We knew that this was an incredibly dangerous thing for our community to be able to make a case that people were allowed to kill us simply for who we are. He knew exactly very quickly that this was incredibly dangerous and something that needed to be attacked and dismantled as quickly as we could.
And how did he go about that?
Well, I think he did a lot of work to highlight the absurdity of the argument and to get the word out that if this was allowed to stand, that it would essentially say that people were allowed to kill us, that our lives didn't matter if people decided that they were surprised or afraid of us in some way. You know, Jeff Montgomery was a master of media and communications, and he was a loud and proud and unapologetic spokesperson for our community, especially at this time when not a lot of people felt comfortable being so open and loud and public. He was a clear, strong voice for our community, and that meant a lot.
Because we heard that clip that we played just a bit ago, the audience screeching and howling and cheering when Jonathan Schmitz says, well, I'm definitely heterosexual. All these years later, what do you feel when you hear that?
It's jarring, absolutely. Unfortunately, I wish that it was even more rare. I wish that it wasn't an argument that continued to hold water and continued to find some support in society. It wasn't too long ago that the radio hosts of the show called The Breakfast Club made a joke about finding out that someone was trans and making that be a justification for murder. You know, that was just a few weeks ago. Unfortunately, we still see LGBT people who are victims of hate crimes, and we still see people try to make a justification for those hate crimes based on our identity instead of based on the actions of the perpetrator.
Was that radio host in Michigan?
No, they're a nationally syndicated show. I don't know exactly where they're located. And the show is called The Breakfast Club. The comedian Lil Duval, I think, is the main perpetrator of this joke, who said he found out that someone he was involved with was trans. He thought that would be grounds to kill them.
And when you stop and you think about the fact that this ended in Scott Amador being shot to death, and attorney Jeffrey Feiger, who represented the Amador family in the civil case against the Jenny Jones Show, said to our Kate Wells that Scott Amador dying and Jonathan Schmitz going to prison, he laid that at the feet of the Jenny Jones Show.
Absolutely. I mean, I think she was absolutely, you know, part of setting up the dynamic that put those issues into play, that put those actions into motion.
But as you say, in 2017, I guess the takeaway from revisiting this case for you right now would be?
There's still too many hate crimes. There's still too much violence against our community. And unfortunately, there are still people who have a big microphone who think that it's okay to perpetrate this kind of dangerous myth that LGBT lives aren't worthy of the same respect as everybody else. You know, my takeaway is there's still a lot of work to do. You don't hear the gay panic as often as we used to, We still very often hear about trans panic, and people try to use that as an excuse. And, you know, it's incredibly dangerous to be a trans person, especially a trans person, woman of color in our society. So it's upsetting, and, you know, there's still lots of work to do.
Stephanie White, Equality Michigan. Thanks so much, Stephanie.
Yeah, you're welcome.